And so all of those different practice kind of things that we do, resources that we give, we just constantly are coming back to that. You know, our meetings happen about once a month, sometimes a little more frequently, but it's constantly circling back and spiraling those conversations, mm-hmm. because that's for us in a large district, that's what moves the needle. You know, if you have only a district with maybe 3 or 4 campuses, it's a little bit different. You're constantly with other leaders and you have that opportunity. But in a big district, to move everybody forward in the same direction, you have to keep spiraling those skills back again and again and again. So yeah, that's what we do. It makes it, we make it sound easy. It's a lot of work, but it's also very joyful work because you can see the outcome. You can see the positive effects that come from that. Sure. I think there's a lot of different things that you can look at. I mean, you can even just Google search, and there's lots of books around, you know, having difficult conversations. But for me, I think the best resource you can have, first of all, is just other people that you can lean on to learn from and practice with. My first question to any of those principals in those situations would be, are you a member of TEPSA if you're an elementary principal?
I was just thinking that, yeah. Lori. So there's one thing we haven't talked about, Lori Gallegos. You are a big fan of TEPSA because you serve in a pretty large role at the state level.
I do. So I am very blessed to be on the executive committee for the state of Texas for TEPSA. And, you know, followed some amazing leaders who happen to be on this call in that position with Jerry Spellman. So I think, yeah, those, especially in the rural districts, in all districts, it really doesn't matter the size and where you are. But TEPSA for elementary principals, that is our lifeline. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even the question that you were just asking, Beth, about, you know, where do you go? Who do you turn to? And I'm thinking, well, at summer conference, we have a class about that, you know, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. That would be my first question. And then there's a lot of resources that come by being a member. It's not just that you have to go to conference and do that, but they're through responsive learning, through the articles that they send, there's so many resources that are there. So that would be my first question. But in addition to that, and that professional camaraderie that comes from finding other people in other districts and the mentoring and all that happens, if I were kind of a singleton, so to speak, in my district, I have a very small district, or maybe I'm a principal of a K-12 campus, right? And I have to do a little bit of everything. I think for me, there's just some good old fashioned kind of tools, like let me write it out. What I know, this is going to be a hard conversation. Let me practice. Let me get in front of a mirror. Especially if you're the kind of leader, which a lot of our people, especially at the elementary level, are, they do not like conflict, but mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be seen as a bad conversation. You just have to go into it being, here are my facts. I have my evidence. This is what I've scripted. This is what I'm able to show in a very non-judgmental kind of a way. It's just data. It's a point there. And so trying to practice helping teachers learn that the data tells the story and helping them to internalize, so you're on the same page as to what that story is. But if you go into it cold, where I'm the evaluator, I know everything, you're doing it wrong, that's not going to end well. And
it,
I think everyone has probably gone through a bad conversation, a bad feedback conversation, where they've learned from it and they grow from it. So yeah, kind of give yourself a little grace. It's not always going to be perfect, especially at the beginning, but you learn from each of those experiences, and it gets better. But then you go to TEPS and you talk to your friends and you learn.
Yep, you're in a group text with people, right? Yeah, pose
yes,
those questions
exactly.
To be able to help figure out and support.
So true, so true. Find your people wherever they are, even if they're in other districts or even in other parts of the state. So for sure.
I have one question, and going back, I'm going to kind of circle back to the evaluation t-test and that part. Is there a way that you would share with people that maybe are like So, you know, I recently retired and I had a nightmare the other night about I had forgotten to send out my self-evaluations for domain 4 because I always did that before Thanksgiving, before spring break. And I woke up and I had forgotten to do that. They were all due, my end of the year conferences. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to stress out the teachers. They haven't even given me the information. And then I woke up. And it was a dream. That's why I haven't been out a whole year. And so I think as I was, my mind is still geared toward, you know, all of the systems that were in place. So when you talk through about the T-test part of it and the evaluation part of it, were there any tips that you gave or that you would make sure that you shared with people that are going through that process? Because it can really pile up on you, especially if you said your district is going through the teacher incentive allotment. That, I mean, because every teacher will be evaluated. And so did you ever talk about systems or ways to organize it so that you don't have the nightmare like I woke up to thinking I hadn't, you know, scheduled everything?
That is so funny that you asked that, Jerry. And one, that just cracks me up that you're still having nightmares to this day, right?
I don't know when it's going to go away.
But yeah, it's almost like you've been a fly on the wall at our principal meetings this year, because this year we have our monthly principal meetings, our all level leadership meetings. And every single month this year, our leadership development team has been in front of the crowd, so to speak, because this is a room of about 200 people when we meet, and leading them through different aspects of the T-test process. And so the main bulk of it is the learning of calibration and making sure we're giving good quality feedback. But there's also that strand, that compliance timeline, mm-hmm. all of those details, the little details, because boy, it'll eat your lunch if you do get behind. Yep. So we started all the way back in July last year when our administrators first came back. And we actually started it last spring, I should say. But we've, you know, as far as TIA goes, we have had lots of systems kind of conversations. And we've had tools that some of the folks in our continuous improvement and research and development departments have put together where they can track to see how many observations they've done, not only for themselves, but also for their admin team. So at the elementary level, it's not so hard if it's you and your associate principal. You know, you could literally sit down, have lunch together and look at everybody's, you know, caseload and figure out where if we have anybody we've missed. But if you're at a comprehensive high school with 3,000 students, you have an admin team, you know, there's a lot of folks on that team, especially in our district where we have magnet campuses on the same campus with the comprehensive high school. So you might have 12 administrators. And if you're the principal, you have to make sure that everybody is keeping up with that timeline. So we've had forms that we've given them. We've, you know, looked electronically at different versions of tracking. We've had the tools our district IT folks have put together for us to be able to help them look and really just to mark calendars more than anything, just the good old fashioned, put it on your calendar. And then of course our admin supervisors have been amazing, and we get reports every week or 2 weeks, depending on where it is in the year. So they can track too to see, okay, how many observations has this administrator done? How many walkthroughs have they done? Not as a gotcha, but as a side-by-side support system. Because there are times, maybe there's an administrator who went on a medical leave, for example, and was out for a few months.
Right.
Then our admin team has had to help with that. So those are some of the systems that we've put in place to make sure that no teacher fell through the cracks. So that we not only for TIA, yes, that's a part of it, obviously. But also we've said from day one, the work that we did around T-test was 100% because it was the right work to do to grow the learning of our children. TIA is just a side product of that. So,
yeah. Just a side product. I know that's a hot topic, you know, around the state right now, moving
it
into that.
Sure is.
And I think in larger districts, they've been, you guys, it's harder, right? It's harder to move the needle into that realm when you have, I mean, how many schools? Over 100?
We have, if you look at all of our campuses together, we have 132 campuses.
Wow.
So it's a lot, and it is to try to move everybody in the same direction. And every school is so unique and diverse because you have everything from comprehensive campuses all the way to very special campuses to magnet campuses. So there's a little bit of everything in between, and you want to make sure you're meeting the needs of all of those. But the calibration work has been kind of awesome. We've done it in clusters, elementary, middle, and high, talking about lessons together. Predominantly, we've talked, though, about elementary, middle, with middle, and so on. And that's been helpful, obviously, to kind of look and see, are we looking for the same thing when we give feedback to teachers? If I'm a teacher who started out at, you know, campus A at the beginning of the year, and maybe there were some changes or whatnot, class size adjustments after the first few weeks, or how, you know, mid-year, whatever it may be, and I'm at campus B later on in the year, am I getting the same kind of look for us, the same kind of evaluation? So that calibration piece has been really key for us.
Right. Are there any, I mean, and just thinking through, if you had any last minute nuggets of information for someone who's like, oh my gosh, I'm moving into the realm of helping to support a principal as they are going through the process, or a principal supporting a newbie. I mean, in your realm, what would be that piece of advice that you would give them, Lori? You always have a wise little way of saying things. And
oh gosh, I know. You put me on the spot there, friend. No, I think a lot of it, like when I meet, for example, at the beginning of the year with our new mentors, the ones who are going to be mentoring these first year kind of young principals, we talk a lot about what kind of support do they need. And for some of our mentors, some of our very best mentors have been principals for a really long time. And then some of them have been principals for maybe 2 or 3 years. But we talk about how your experience at your campus is not going to look exactly like what their experience does. So you really, to be able to support them, you have to think a step ahead of where they are. So you need to think about not only what are they living with right now, like what's the hair on fire kind of stuff they need your guidance and support about, but you also need to help that young principal learn, how do I problem solve? How do I start navigating what's coming? And how do I get my tasks accomplished now so that I'm ready for the unexpected? Because the unexpected is going to happen more than the expected on any given day.
Exactly.
So really just helping them to kind of think strategically and help to grow them, rather than giving them all the answers. How do you help that novice principal grow to where they're learning how to problem solve, to solve their own answers, so, or their own problems?
What was that like learning that? Like, how have you seen that work really well, or the opposite work really poorly? Like, what kind of experiences did you have to realize how important it is for administrators, for new administrators, to learn that themselves?
I think a lot of it, one of the wonderful parts of my job in leadership development was I also oversaw our principal coaches. We have a group of retired principals who go out and coach our principals that are in their first, second, and third year of the principalship. And so we worked really hard over the past few years to kind of really align the kind of coaching that they did, that like the topics that they would focus on, to where we had, for lack of a better word, a guaranteed and viable coaching curriculum, so to speak. Of course, coaching is not a curriculum, but that, you know, just to kind of connect it, like to the language we use for PLCs, for example. And so we spent a lot of time and used data to go back and look and see what is it that first year principals need? What is it that second year principals need? And what is it that third year principals need? And it wasn't a surprise, but it kind of was at the same time. I mean, the first year of the principalship, they need so much guidance around building culture on their campuses. And it goes back to kind of where we started today, talking about relationships. If I'm going in, especially if I'm walking into a turnaround campus, for example, or, you know, an improvement required campus, I know I've got work to do. I have a very limited amount of time to improve instruction. But at the same time, if I don't start developing culture first in those relationships, how do I get them to really feel that sense of urgency and work together, as opposed to, you know, kind of butting heads with each other? So that was more first year, and helping them to navigate a little bit around, yes, all new principals come in and they know they're instructional leaders and they want to just dive into instruction, but helping them to navigate the balance that's there, and honestly just learning how to balance time for themselves for self-care, because it's a marathon. A principalship is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And first year principals come in sprinting all of the time. So I think that through the coaches, watching that and then watching the difference in the coaching that they do with principals into year two and into year three, it's kind of like a gradual release model we do with teaching.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's a lot of, you know, I do, we do, you do. And so by the time they get to year three, it's the you do. And so the coaches talk a lot about how in their sessions with third year principals, oftentimes the coach doesn't even have to talk a whole lot. A lot of times doesn't even have to ask a whole lot of questions. because the principal has learned to ask themselves questions. So they'll talk about a problem that they have, and then they'll say, well, you know, I bet I could lean into my, you know, achiever strength or my empathy strength or whatever Gallup strength they might want to focus on. And then they're like, I think I could do this, but let me hang on. Well, I remember we talked about that one time. Maybe I should do it this way. So they're talking themselves through the process, when as a first year, their coach is asking very, you know, poignant questions to help them kind of learn how to be those critical thinkers. So it's, I think it's just working with coaches that have kind of learned that, like how it looks different from a first year all the way on out.
Well, in 3 years, I always said, as a principal, 3 years is like you're in your stride. You kind of hit your stride at year three, even with in any realm, you know, that we serve. I feel like year three is like, okay, I've got
it's starting
this.
To make sense.
It's starting to make sense. I'm getting this figured out. And so
you've kind of learned the job at that point. You've learned, like as a principal, you've learned your staff, you've learned where the areas mm-hmm. of need are. Mm-hmm. And not only do you know where the needs are, but you actually have an idea of what you can do about it. So
exactly.
It takes time to get there. Yeah. You're not going to have huge changes overnight. It just takes time for sure.
No. Well, that is very interesting. So Lori, I know that we have taken a lot of your time. If you had one last piece of, you know, if I were stepping into the principalship, because you may also have aspiring leaders, you know, listening right now, you being Lori Gallegos, there will be people that are going to listen to this because they're wanting to hear, get inside the mind of Lori and what she's thinking about not only TTES, but, you know, supporting leaders and leadership development. And so what would be that other piece of nugget of information? Because if you had that aspiring leader or a principal who is fostering teacher leaders into other leadership roles, what would be that, you know, one piece of information, nugget of information that you feel like could be helpful?
I think if you're really the leader that's developing others, I think you have to go back to defining what the person you're developing, what are their key strengths and helping them to grow their strengths. So oftentimes I think as leaders, we tend to look, because we have to, you tend to look at where all the problems are and how am I going to fix that? How am I going to fix this teacher or the way they do this or the way they do that, whether it's instruction or discipline or whatnot. And sometimes you have to do that. But I think if you can kind of flip the narrative and really start from an assets-based kind of promotion, right, to where you're seeing, oh my goodness, you have such a gift in this area, and help really build people up and build that relationship up, you're starting to help them see things that they have, strengths that they have, and maybe, you know, possibly could grow to become whatever it may be, you know, a librarian, a counselor, a principal, a central office person. They may not even see it in themselves. And so as you're working with others, the kind of feedback you give, yes, there's the T-test feedback, but there's also just that life kind of coaching and feedback that you mm-hmm. give your teachers that you're working with, or your principals if you're in central office, and helping them to identify skill sets that they didn't even realize they had, because everybody has a gift. Everybody mm-hmm. is a leader of some sort. They don't have to have the title, but they need someone sometimes to bring it out and help them just to kind of hold a mirror to themselves so they can see it and know that this is a gift that they have that they could continue to grow in.
After all, Lori, you're in your position because someone saw that in you. Someone saw that in you from when you moved into administration as an AP all the way. Someone gave you that little tap on the shoulder of encouragement, of honing in on your strengths. And so I do think that's a testament to the work and the leadership that you provide in supporting your people. I know the Northside Independent School District is just blessed to have you at the helm of your leadership part, and also serving at the state level in your volunteer role for a state organization, that your ripple effect is just, you're not ever going to know the true impact that you've made in the lives of others. And so I've known you, Lori, for a very long time, and have just always valued you and just who you are and the way that you foster relationships and treat people, no matter who they are, down to when you were principal in Open Kuntz. I remember we came to visit. Remember, you opened your doors for when I was at my last campus, and seeing you interact with everyone from, you know, a custodian to a cafeteria worker to, you know, your right hand, your secretary, who was like your boss, right?
Yes, exactly.
Once it kept you in order. But the status doesn't matter to you. I mean, you see leadership potential in anyone that you come across. And so I'm just so grateful that you said you wanted to be a part of this. And it took a little time to get it on the calendar, but we did it. And we made it work, and just grateful for you and the work that you do to support leaders in the state of Texas and in your own district.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys, you know, tapping in and having the conversation. That's one thing I've always valued, is we learn from others, right? And you never know kind of where those nuggets of information you get, right? The learning that you do in various places, whether it's just in conversation with others or something that happens in a bigger setting like a conference or whatnot, you never know where those people are going to come back into your lives, and they always seem to come at just the right time. So I think Jerry, our friendship has been testament to that. We keep spiraling back, we keep circling back to it. Our lives keep, you know, kind of crossing each other professionally, and that's been a wonderful thing. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Aww. That was sweet, guys. Thank you so much for all of this, for this conversation, and all the work that you do for the students and for the teachers. It means a lot.
Oh, thank you. It's the best career out there. I know it's a hard job, but, you know, being in education, there is no other job that can live up to it. It's pretty amazing. So I will continue to fight for a public ed, because I think it is absolutely the best profession anybody can be a part of.
I totally agree. I love that. Totally agree. And you're in just that right position, Lori.
Thank you.